from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Bread. We were having a little chat in the break. Sorry about that, so we'll relay that to you. Because yes, it was 2 years ago when Lee and Eric were covering the London Olympics on our own. He's gone now.
Exactly. We didn't take 227 people with us, have
I? I wasn't here yet.
Yes.
No.
There was two of us. You're there. Yeah, you're there. And we actually hooked up with radio stations in Australia and various other places. And my transmission box was the size of a 12-inch record box, which I'm looking at the moment.
Oh, that ute it was.
That was really quite clever little box of tricks, wasn't it, Lee? And we set it all up, and it worked. And there was two of us.
Not 272 of us. Two of us, yeah. BBC. Two of us.
In the official Slovak house.
And we broadcast to the world.
Yeah, so stick that in your ear.
Yes.
Stick that up your ear.
Something like that. Anyway, according to Nigel Farage, which we'll get onto very quickly.
It sounds like the word cheese or pudding or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit. He's brilliant on the television. I loved him to bits because he was such a great salesman. I wouldn't believe what he was all saying, but he was such a great salesman. And he says, you're willing to lie to the British people, when he was talking to Nick Clegg, and I will get it right because Dave Bimbleby on the BBC got it wrong. He got their names around the wrong way, but never mind, David Bimbleby. There was the great Euro debate between Farage and Clegg on the telly this week, and at the end of it, there was a poll taken. Now, bearing in mind, for those that don't know, Farage is very, what I would describe as right-wing. He got 68% of being the winner in the debate, and poor old Cleggy, who sits in the middle, only got 27%, so he didn't do very well.
No.
But he does. You see, this is one of the problems, and I actually tweeted,
make him work.
When will the day be when politicians actually tell us the truth?
Never.
Right. I know. I've got it in my calendar. It's the 41st of May, Timber.
Oh, right. Which decade?
800 o'clock in the year of 3,074,000. Well, that's Star Trek years.
Oh, right. Okay.
They pretty much never know.
So just to prove the point, I thought, you know, they're all having a barney about whether it's good or bad to be in the European Union. And this week, and this is great for the European Union members, the MEPs have voted to scrap mobile roaming fees across the EU. What?
I had something to say about Nicolas Farage. You've just eloquently moved on to another story.
Oh, that was a DJ cliche, tenuous link.
It's only because me and Rachel were giving you space to talk about it, and then we wanted to say something, and you just cut us out. That's disgusting.
There's no more space in my studio.
He segued into our segue.
I did.
Exactly. I want to say that you actually said you admired Nicolas Farage.
Yep.
I think that Nicolas Farage is really, probably, and I will stand up for be counted on this, the most dangerous man in the UK now.
I agree.
He's dangerous.
And Clegg is the weakest man in the UK now. And Farage is speaking the politics of the common man, while hiding the fact he wants to take all, he wants to destroy the common man. Nicolas Farage should not even be allowed on the same stage as anybody who is a real politician in Britain. And as much as politicians lie, nobody misrepresents themselves as much as Nicolas Farage does.
I'll get to my point then. Here we go.
Moving on to that next story.
For all the bits he said it was rubbish, European citizens, that's all of us within the EU, will notice our phone charges go down when we go on holiday or whatever, because they are going to stop the phone companies charging exorbitant mobile rates. It was actually adopted by 534 votes to 25 against. Yeah. So they put a cap on internet browsing as well. And I'll tell you what, that frightened me last year when I was on holiday. Flipping heck, it was ridiculous. And I was in the EU. I wasn't outside the EU.
I know, that's ridiculous. It's like, you know, it's like me wandering around from one end of, well, it's not exactly the same, but geographically it's like me wandering around from one end of Australia to the other.
Yeah.
And getting pinged different rates when I do so. It's like, yeah. Excuse me, what? No.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Can I tell you a quick serious, true story about this?
Go on then.
There's some. Oh, you sounded really happy then, did you? That was something.
I know.
That made me go.
Be a bloody big story.
Yeah. Did it throw you off?
Yeah.
I went all funny inside. anyway, this is a true story. What happened to me when I was in Australia, as the ladies and gentlemen and Rachel and whatever he's called, Eric, knows, I got lost in the outback. I walked and walked. I was on walkabout. I was like Jenny Agutter walking through the desert like that and all, everything. And anyway, when I realised I was lost, I phoned my wife. And my children.
Yes.
And this is the reply I got. Oh, well, this is the story I got off of, because Andrea picked up the phone, looked at it, said, I've got a message off Lee here. And my daughter said to her, open it, see what he says. She said, no, it'll cost a fortune, and put the phone away.
Yes.
I was lost in the outback.
You know, it reminds me of that story a couple of weeks ago we did about that fella who got lost in his backyard in the Northern Territory.
Lee, yes.
You can now understand how it happens.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are going to need your tissues.
I am.
Because this is such a dramatic story. And I have to say, the amount of times that we slag off pop stars and as being, you know, egotistical nutters. This disproves it completely.
Really does.
And I didn't find the story originally. It was Rach. So she can have this story, Rach. You take it story up.
I have to really struggle through this. I struggle with this story about getting emotional, but I'll be all right. There's a young lady by the name of Triona, and she was very ill, and she was fatally ill, and she was, you know, terminally ill. And she was about to pass away, but she had the wish thing come to her. So she was able to wish for something, and she wanted to hear Ed Sheeran sing. Mm-hmm. So Ed Sheeran came to sing, and which is great of him to do. And I think it's great when those guys go and do those things for sick kids.
Mm.
Not only did he sing to her, but he sang to her as she passed away.
Well, she fell asleep, then passed away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on the phone.
Yeah.
So he sang her to sleep, which is really
lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And her brother made a lovely YouTube video about it, and it was just really, really touching story, because there's so much about the Mileys and the Biebers and the this and the that. And then a guy comes and does something genuinely nice for this young lady, and it made her a last moment that may or may not have been, but we don't know, because we went inside her head, scary or terrifying, or maybe she'd come to terms and maybe she was really medicated, who knows. But it was just a beautiful story, and I thought, what a top-shelf human being he is for doing that. That's
absolutely
just really – that would have been difficult for him. That would have been really emotionally difficult to do, knowing that this person was passing away right there, you know. It was – but it's a lovely story, and it's got – it's all gone massive. There was a huge campaign to get him to go and see her, and he did, and it's just lovely. It's lovely.
Absolutely. So well done to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Brilliant job. The crazy health police are at it again. But, you know, half of me says I kind of agree with them. It's all to do with e-cigarettes, and the Welsh Assembly in the UK are considering banning the use of e-cigarettes in public spaces, which at the moment you can't smoke in public spaces, as they're called, but you can use an e-cigarette. And what the argument is, and this is a smoker talking, and I mean a habitual smoker.
Exactly.
Yeah. The fact is, it does worry me that youngsters will start on e-cigarettes and go to real cigarettes.
Real thing, yeah.
And I do have that concern. So I've got a little bit of me going, it's not the nanny state, but there's a big piece of me going, it's the nanny state.
I've got to agree with you, because as a person who's committed to my relationship with smoking
tobacco,
it's very deep and real.
Yes,
but it's When I did give up a couple of years ago, the thing for me was the psychological addiction was tougher than the physical addiction. So the hand-to-mouth action is the thing that I found difficult to break. Something to do, you know, I had to keep myself busy or distracted. Now, putting a faux cigarette in your hand to me is just like putting a, might as well put a gun to my head. And, you know, just light me up a real one, why don't you? Because that's what's going to happen next. But the funny thing about this, it's got me all triggered in my brain, because in Australia they have restricted the importation of the oil that goes into these until the government can decide how much tax they want to put on it.
Yeah.
Oh, flippy neck.
No, I'm not joking.
They tax the good point,
What you mean?
And
so
Lee's just been in Australia, and he knows how expensive cigarettes are here.
£25 for a packet of 20 cigarettes.
Jesus Christ!
They tax it to my goodness. The tax goes up another 12% every 2 years. So they're taxing it to my goodness. Now this is supposed to be a stop smoking aid that they want to tax.
But that's always the issue. They want to tax you purely on. They're just looking for an income.
It's a revenue raising exercise. Exactly, that's all it is.
Yeah.
But your point about it being, you know, you're a bit doubtful about it being a nanny state. Of course, it's a nanny state. The simple fact is, as a fellow smoker, although I tend to give up for months at a time and then return to it, I understand the rigours of being addicted to cigarettes. And it's all well and good to say, oh, yes, but young people will start smoking electronic cigarettes and that will lead to addiction. The simple fact is that if they do ban e-cigarettes from places, you can still go out and buy ordinary cigarettes. Mm. E-cigarettes offer people a way of trying to escape from the addiction of what is probably one of the worst drugs ever perpetrated on man.
I will tell you now that one of the tricks I found, which did work for a while, then I had a bit of a bad day, so I lit another cigarette up, but that was a disaster, just over a year ago. I did have a couple of months where I stopped smoking. And the one trick I did was the money I would have spent every day, I put in a jar. Yeah. One of these jars with a with a top on it that counts your money, so I could look. And at the end of the 2 months, I bought Martina a really posh, snobby smartphone because it made me feel good doing that, and it also sort of gave me a reason not to continue smoking. And I must admit, that tip did work quite well. It did really
That's
work
what you
well.
Need. That's what you need.
You know, in terms of young people. Exactly. And in terms of young people, as a parent of said young people, and we had a very frank discussion for something that we did for somebody else on the radio, and there is way more to worry about than cigarettes. She can't stand smoking. She thinks it's repulsive.
Mm. No,
most of the kids today have grown up in the smoking's not cool. It's really, really not cool. But what else they get up to, good grief, there's way more to worry about.
Indeed, we'll move on then. We'll move on.
Go on then.
Because I'm doing this for the lovey amongst us. I'm not sure which one of the two of them will be the biggest lovey. But apparently the best 100 restaurants in the world have been revealed. Not one of them that I would ever go to. But there you go.
Because McDonald's isn't on the list.
I wouldn't go to McDonald's. That's rubbish.
This is rubbish. McDonald's is probably one of the best restaurants in the world. It's absolutely amazing.
No. Do you know where the best restaurant in the world is?
Where?
Go on.
It's by Victoria Station in London. It's on the, as you're standing looking at the station, it's on the left-hand side. It's run by an Italian family that have owned it for nearly 50 years.
Oh, dear.
And you can go in there and you can get a full English breakfast, cup of tea, yada, 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 for the cost of a Big Mac and chips and all that. You have a proper meal. It's properly served up in a proper mug of tea. Blah, blah, blah. Eggs, bacon, sausage, tomato, fried bread, beans. The works. And it's
a heart attack on a plate. What's wrong with McDonald's? Sorry, what?
Can I just explain now why McDonald's?
No, because on the opposite. Hold on.
The best restaurant
on the opposite side.
I can explain it.
On the opposite side, I will now tell you who presented this story to the Running Order. It was Mr. Banks. We've got the fat duck in Berkshire
Run, I've been there.
By owned and run by Heston Blumenthal.
Just opened one.
He's
year.
A nice man. He is. I've met him. Yeah. I met him 2 years, 3 years ago when I was at the restaurant, best restaurant in
I
the world.
I know you did.
Yeah, I met him. Don't you tell me about him.
Yeah.
I like him. He's in Australia right now. He's just opened a Fat Duck here.
Has he?
And yeah, and he's.
He's going to cook him. It later, isn't he?
No.
Yeah, he is. And then we're going to eat it.
The only fat duck is him.
He loves.
Oh, him. That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, he's
not fat. He's a little bit chubby and bald.
Yeah. Never trust a skinny cook.
No, no skinny cook, exactly. Yeah.
So you've got Alenia in Chicago, Daniel in New York, Fat Duck Berkshire, 11 Madison in New York, La Bernardine in New York, El Sala Can Rocker in Spain. Yeah. Azurmendi in Spain.
What's up with Swedish? Why can't you have a Spanish restaurant in the top 10?
It's true. There's no Australians, so I don't care.
They're not only serve maracas.
La Pergola in Rome. The Ledbury, that's a joke, in London.
Why is that a joke, you cheeky monkey? Why?
Because they'd have to, for my liking, they'd have to serve their food with a magnifying glass.
What?
Nouveau cuisine. The massive, gigantic plate that's as big as three heads with this tiny piece of food in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That's a little pretty garnish.
That's a good thing. That's good food. That's presented good. Because if you eat a micro meal like that and you don't feel hungry afterwards, then that's a good thing.
You're unwell.
That you are unwell. I'm always starving. And finally, the Osteria Francesca in Italy. That's the top 10. Not one thing that you don't have to save up 6 months of your salary for.
Great.
In
Australia, when you go out for a meal, you and Mr. Tagliatelle, right? When you go out for a meal between you and you have a bottle of wine or a bottle of wine and a glass of water, will that meal, on average, cost you or cost Mr. Tagliatelle, right, about $100?
Where he likes to eat, yeah.
So there you have it. So these restaurants.
What's $100? What's $100?
$75.
But what $100? What that will buy me here in Darwin at the best restaurant in Darwin is Pee Wee's at the Point. It's very, very good and it's expensive, but it's excellent.
Yeah.
But that's the portion size is pretty enormous.
Oh, that's all right then.
I struggle to get through.
Serving kangaroo.
I struggle to get through two courses with them. And for $100, I'm okay with that.
Okay,
but
I can live
fat
with that.
Duck, the 75 quid would buy you a meal in the Fat Duck in Berkshire or in La Pergola in Rome. There is nothing actually very expensive about these places. I've eaten there as a food.
But it's like the chocolate bars. They don't go down in price or change price. They shrink, so the price don't go up.
That's because they frighten them, Murray. I'm faithful.
Right, anyway, my top tip is find, if you go on holiday, my top tip, find out where the local people eat, because you'll get the best.
McDonald's!
No, they don't. We haven't got one. You'll get the best. You'll get the best value for money.
You don't have one?
No.
I'm not coming there ever.
What? You don't have one in Slovakia?
We don't have one in Slovakia. We don't have one in Poprad.
We're never coming to visit you. I'm not coming to visit you.
The nearest one is in Košice, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's where I've eaten. Yeah, I've been in a McDonald's. The reason you go in McDonald's, ladies and gentlemen, top tip, is because the toilets are always clean and they've got a lock on the door. That's why McDonald's are the best restaurants in the world.
No, it's because they do free Wi-Fi now.
And wherever you go in the world, it tastes exactly the same.
Exactly. And you know, you got the only place I didn't like it was in Delhi, where they made chicken burgers instead, and we were both ill on them. But that's not your fault, McDonald's. That's the chicken.
That's the local people. This is putting the fear of God into me, this next story.
Ooh.
This is putting the fear of God into me, this news story. Because on the 8th of April, there's a new Windows 8 with all sorts of new...
Oh, I only just got used to using the old one.
I'm used to switching it on.
That's what worries me. So what can we expect from the all-new Windows? The one thing is the little X is back on everything.
Little X? Oh, is that for closing down stuff? Because you can't close down on this stupid computer.
I knew that was coming. So all of the apps you can close down like you used to.
Thank you.
That's a great innovation, isn't it? Well done, Windows 8. Let's do something that everybody used to do in the past. Now we've made it really difficult. We can't do anything.
You can. You just right-click them on the left side of the screen. It's ridiculous.
Right-click them on the left side of the screen.
My brain doesn't work that way.
The other thing that the geeks amongst us, which I'll include myself in, will love...
Please.
...is that it is not going to use as much RAM as it used to. Whilst things will sit there in the background, they won't actually eat the brain of the computer away. So that would be really good. And there are a couple of other sort of aesthetics changes to it.
By what?
Well, because people have asked for them. For example, there's a shutdown button now.
You can't even switch it off. It's ridiculous. It's been on for 6 weeks. I was in Australia and it was off.
No, but the thing is, all of the geeks, and I include myself in that, every computer that I use with Windows 8 on has a shutdown button on it. It has done since the day I put it on there. Because it's
some of us don't know how to put it on there.
Some of us don't even know where it is.
Rach, I'll
send
some
of us can't find it in the living room.
It's like the glorious G-spot of computer lab.
Well, anyway, that's what you're getting. That's what you're getting with the free upgrade for Windows 8 people. The big upgrade is coming out, and I have to say, it's probably driven like all the Windows upgrades by the early adopter community. That's a nice way of putting it and calling us geeks, because all the tiles that we've been making, like shutdown and restart, now I'm going to have to delete them all because Windows are putting them on the upgrade.
Do you grout your tiles on Windows 8?
Oh, absolutely.
I've tried grouting mine.
It works wonderfully. It really does. Anyway.
You got keys, though.
You can't get your colour samples quite right, but it's all good.
Oh, my word. Rachel has just done the typical blonde moment of the radio show, at which point I lead on to, you know, I was talking once about people driving cars, and I think Rachel's daughter's now got a provisional license as well. Is that right?
She's got her learner's permit, and I'm terrified. It's all good.
So what I was going to say, you know, in future years in Darwin, you'll see Beth on one pavement, Rachel on the other pavement. So walk down the middle of the road. It'd be the safest place ever. And...
it will.
One of the safest places we had left, gentlemen, was the water.
Just tread carefully. That's all I'm saying. Tread water very carefully.
Exactly. Very good. And the submarines, the submariners, that was our last bastion.
Well, I mean men.
Unfortunately, Janine Asselin, who's 27 years old.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And she's in the German Navy.
And you have to remember, the Germans don't like it up them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
She is now the first female submarine officer. We have got...
What do you mean, unfortunately? I think that's disrespectful. We need to apologise to this young lady. She be listening to you.
Yeah. All right. She's like a mermaid.
Sorry, Janine.
Yeah.
She's charming. She sits on a rock with a submarine and stethoscope.
So now, basically, guys, you can't walk. Guys, you can't walk on the left side of the road. You can't walk on the right side of the road. And for God's sake, don't go swimming because Janine's out there with a submarine.
That was a really well laboured joke over 5 minutes, wasn't it?
It was rather, wasn't it?
He thought of that end ages ago.
I wish I hadn't.
It was very good. It was very funny. Make anybody laugh.
That was its only downfall.
Absolutely.
Not had a tumbleweed moment for years, and now we've just had one.
The press is all in a tizzy in the UK because one of the Prime Minister's people got her hands caught in the till, and basically she didn't do her expenses properly. She got nicked. She stood up in Parliament and said, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The governing body of all this lot have said it's done and dusted now. I've given the money back." Yeah. End of. She did it in a couple of minutes, and everybody's whinging because she didn't say it better. She said, "I'm sorry. Get over it."
No, don't get over it.
if she didn't do it, did she do it with malice? Was she being sneaky and deceptive, or did she generally make a mistake?
Well, it doesn't really matter. The law of our land and most lands doesn't really. It's not the fact that you know of the. I've got to think of what I'm trying to say, but basically, it's no excuse.
The thievery?
Yeah, if you do something and you didn't know it was a crime, then you're still.
Oh, ignorance is no excuse.
Okay. No. Hold on. Yeah. Just for the audience outside the UK, she stood up in the British Parliament and she said, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake." Yeah. The body that looks after expenditure in the UK, or for Parliament in the UK, she gave her a smack on the wrist. She gave all the money back. But she did it. She wasn't laughing or joking. She was quite serious when she did it. But she was very succinct. And because she was very succinct, she's got into trouble. Because they want her to waffle on and get the tissues out and cry. And do you know what? That is wasting parliamentary time.
Yeah, but that isn't really what this story is about. I know that's the way it was presented in so many places. But the simple fact is, like Rachel just pulled my mental paroxysms out of the whatever it's called by saying ignorance is no defence against the law. The fact is that this woman either knew or didn't know that she was fiddling her expenses. Doesn't matter. She committed an act which has had other people jailed. She's walked free from this. Now, to make an analogy here, which I think is really important, there is a simple fact. In the UK, we have something called council tax. You have to begin paying it on April the 1st, right? Which is a joke, right? And the council tax people have not written to me saying how much I owe, right? What my council tax bill is for this year.
Yep.
So we paid them what we paid them last year. We've already had threatening letters off them for not paying the right amount. We're probably about 20, 30 quid out on it. That is the way. Yeah, and that's, but we're getting threatening letters. This woman did or did not deliberately fiddle her expenses, things that's put other people in her world in jail, and all she had to say was sorry. And now so some people are jibing her for not saying sorry for long enough. Well, just carry on jibing.
Get over it. Get over it. And we finish with a man who I absolutely love on the television. He's retiring in 2015, David Letterman from The Late Show.
I love him.
I do as well.
I love his loafers and his white socks. He's been so funny for so long. I grew up watching this guy.
21 years. 21 years.
Is that all he's been doing?
21 years.
Just with that network. Just with that network. He was with NBC way before that. He's been doing this for a long time.
Long time.
The last couple of years I've been thinking, isn't it time, Dave? What's going on?
Well,
those young bucks take over.
Dave has actually announced it on the TV now that in 2015 he and Paul's the leader of the orchestra band, Paul Schaefer. He's a great stooge to David Letterman. They work so well together. They're brilliant. Absolutely.
They've been together from the beginning as well, that time, and not just the 21 years, but before at NBC as well. They've been together for, 40 years, I think, now.
Indeed. We'll have the miracle of being here in 40 years' time, but right now we've got to say goodbye. Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Bye-bye, Lee.
Goodbye, David Letterman.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.